This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I know that some in our audience know the finer points of hockey.
The Chris Johnston Show.
We are your friends.
The biggest stories, bringing you inside the game.
What did you hear?
The Chris Johnston Show.
What is going on?
Here's Chris with your host, Julian McKenzie.
Part of the game.
CJ, it feels like clockwork whenever this next topic comes up. The playoff format. Someone writes an article somewhere. Someone starts some discourse online about it. In particular, I'm thinking of Eric Tuhacek's column about how the NHL playoffs should revisit that 1-16 format. 32 Thoughts today was talking about some of the playoff races, and Elliot was really big on expanded playoffs. I would love to know your thoughts on the playoff format as it is and how you would love to see it. And if you think we should have expanded playoffs at all, or a 1-16.
Well, this can be a really quick topic because I have seen the perfect playoff format. We already had it. 1-8 each conference. Mm-hmm. That's the final answer. Like, I got no time for, you know, I love Elliot, but like, do you really think we need to see more than 82 games from one of the Islanders or like the, especially the Eastern Conference playoff races? I'm not hating on the teams, but it's just like, these teams aren't screaming greatness. In fact, if you look at the East in particular, the West, we might have a better debate. Like St. Louis right now is the first team that's not in a playoff position, and they would be a playoff position by points if they were in the Eastern Conference. But when you have one conference like the East, like it's hard to argue any of those teams deserve more than the 82 games. Like, it's long enough to decide there's a noticeable drop off in quality after about six teams in the East, maybe seven, depending on, you know, I think the Lightning have crawled back into the conversation. So I'll say seven. But I don't see a reason for a ninth or 10th team to be part of this. And I think if you're going to have an 82 game regular season, which it seems they're inclined to do, you have to make that matter. And to go 82 games and then have it all decided with a one game coin flip, I don't like the idea of that. So the issue is, I think that the forced nature of the, you know, Atlantic Division, Metro Division, like the divisional playoffs, I don't like. I think 1-8 would solve some problems. Did you know there's a world, and I don't want to bend brains out here for people that aren't able to look at this visually, but there is a world where the third place team in the Metro, which is a guaranteed spot, ends up with fewer points than the first team that misses the playoffs, currently Detroit. It is possible, if enough losing happens over this next 2+ weeks, that a team, you know, anyway.
No, you're right. I mean, we're recording right now. Washington is at 82 points. That's the same amount of points as the Flyers do. I think the way the NHL has it, I guess the Capitals have that up on a tiebreak, but the Red Wings are at 80 points.
Right.
It is possible.
There's a world where both the Flyers and Capitals, just for argument's sake in this case, struggle down the stretch. The Red Wings win games. It'd be hard, but it is mathematically possible the Red Wings finish with more points than the third place finisher in the Metro.
I believe
which is nuts.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, every year, I mean, not every year, but I'm not completely surprised. It's not the first time that's happened, I'm sure, if it ever gets to that point. I don't know. I don't hate the idea of expanded playoffs. Like, 1-8, I completely understand, but like, what's wrong with like a play-in game? Like, we all love the idea of like a game where the concept's simple. Two teams, they battle it out to try to win to get into the playoffs. People are going to get in. People are going to get into it. Like, why do we want to refuse that idea? I don't understand that.
I think it cheapens a regular season. Like, it's, for me, as a Blue Jays fan, for example, it's kind of hard that the whole 100, you watch 162 games. Your team makes the playoffs. They bring out the champagne. They tarp up the locker room. Everyone goes nuts. The disco ball's going. And then they lose two games and the season's over. Like, it's just, I don't know. It feels like there's no getting around the fact there's drama to those games. But I think there's a hell of a lot of drama in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And
you're absolutely right.
But like, this is what I love about the, like, we're actually at the point now. I think that there's a better argument that the seeding almost doesn't matter, especially for the top teams entirely. Like, you know, obviously there's still a bunch of movement that can happen, but like right now, Vancouver could battle it out to be first seed in the West, and they might get Nashville in round one, or, you know, it could be Vegas and Edmonton playing. And the East is kind of similar. I mean, you got some version of, you know, Toronto, Florida, Tampa, Rangers. Like, I just think that we're going to have all these great matchups in the first round. And so I've come around to this. I have to be honest. There was a time, maybe when I was spending more time with Elliot backstage when we worked at the same network, maybe, but there was a time I was of his viewpoint that, you know, more is better. You can sell more. It's more games to air. I don't know. I'm starting to feel fatigue even for this season. And it's been a really good season. Like, it's not, I just feel, you know, it's April 1st as we're recording this, and we're still a long way from the first playoff game. It just, if there's anything, like, I realize we won't waste time on this because it's for financial reasons, this will never happen, but I'd love to see a 70 game season. I'd love the playoffs to be starting any minute now. I'd love to get the cup handed out by about the end of May, but you know, it's going the other way, and it's going to be the third week of June, potentially, if we get a 7-game cup final before we see the mug handed out on the ice somewhere. And let's face it, the third week of June, a lot of people like that love our sport are going to be doing other things, because it's just hard to think about a hockey game in the third week of June.
And
unless your team's in it.
But the funny thing is that it goes as far as it does, and or it's supposed to be this year, and then almost immediately after the NHL draft starts.
Yeah. And they jam in, and yeah, it's look at, it's TV driven. Like, the cup finals move back a week now. I mean, so it was moved back in obvious times back to 2020, 2021. You know, the schedule got thrown off by everything that happened with the pandemic and delays there. But now we're at a spot where the league could actually finish by mid-June. And it, you know, from my understanding, the US TV networks want the sport to start a little later, so there's fewer games head-to-head with the NFL. And then they're comfortable with it ending when it does, you know, on or about the same time as the NBA finals end. I don't know. I guess everyone has to have an opinion. I just think, as much as I respect Eric's column I read on the 1-16, and like, I think that that's probably cool. Like, it's not fair that a team like Vancouver, let's say, could finish number one overall in the league and might have to start round one against Florida. And so they're just facing just horrendous travel right out of, like, their reward for being the best team in the entire league is something like that. Like, I don't think that flies. So I think you have to keep it within conferences. And I know certainly out West, of course, that the teams are more spread out, you know, geographically. So you're still going to get a lot of travel in a 1-8 conference situation in the Western Conference. But I think that that's much better than 1-16. But I don't know. I don't want to see more teams. I want to see less teams. I want to see less games. What if
you do 1-16, but the top seed in each conference picks who they want? Like, I'm a big fan of that format, even if you did it like 1-8, or even in the format if you do it now. But if you do 1-16, isn't that like the perfect place to, if you're a Vancouver, you don't want to have to make this entire trek out east to Florida. Just pick whoever you want. Pick a team that you've been feasting on all season in your conference, and maybe limit the travel that way. Maybe that's the perfect way to do it. Like, I think just generally, you just do a TV special, have the GMs all in a room or something, or at least the one GM, the two GMs of the top teams in each conference, and they make their picks. Like, that's just any way to drive eyeballs to the sport and drum up some drama. Like, that's, I think that would work. Or at least I would like it.
Well, it would work from a, I think you're right. It would work from a viewership standpoint. Like, people would be interested. I don't know. The TV special itself might be kind of dry because it's, you know, there's not that much. But I mean, in terms of like the storylines that would create, remember when this team chose that team over that team. But I just don't see anyone, knowing how conservative the league is, I don't see anyone getting behind that. I just
don't. Who do we have to talk to change people's minds?
Well, I mean, this is something like that kind of change would involve changing a lot of minds. You know, I think at the end of the day, and this is where, like, it's rare that I would see Gary Bettman's view, but like, he has said repeatedly, like, what there's nothing broken here. What are we fixing? And I'm kind of coming around, or over time, I would say, I can actually say it definitively, I've come around to sort of see it that way as well. Like, I think when we're recording an episode a couple Mondays from now, and the playoffs have started April 20th, so this is, you know, 3 weeks today, April 22nd, we are going to be so fired up about even just those first couple days, what we've seen, what's happened. You know, we don't even know the matchups yet. I don't know the schedule, but I can guarantee you when we do that Monday episode, we're both going to be pretty fired up about everything going on around the league. And so ultimately, I think the NHL has it right. I think the other sports have had to do it because they're playing catch up in their respective playoffs. They the NBA regular season doesn't have anywhere near as close a races, generally speaking, as the NHL's. You know, baseball's a different animal. 162 games is just insane. Especially when you cheer for the Blue Jays, you know they're going to lose like 80 of them plus.
I love the optimism.
I'm still down.
I could tell you are. But like
a day today, a week today, though, I'll be at the home opener.
Okay, you'll be having a – when is Looney Dog Day or whenever that is?
No, it's not. That won't be the first game. Those are on Tuesday nights usually. Okay. I don't know if the second game of the season has one, but certainly I won't be eating – I'm not going to be competitive eating, but I will have a hot dog while I'm at that game.
You should have. You should treat yourself.
I've already ordered the hot dog, and it's a week in advance. So like there is no circumstances unless I get violently ill that day that I'm not chowing down. By the way, this could be defining for our podcast, frankly. So because we've just come through the Easter holiday and yes. I ate a pack of these. I need to know where do you stand on mini eggs?
I like mini eggs. I don't love them. I'm not going to sit down and like wolf them down. But if I was offered mini eggs, I would eat them.
Okay. Because if you were going to say you didn't like those, or if you had some take, if you're going to roll out some take about how they're the grossest thing ever.
No,
could almost be a deal breaker for us. Like we barely got through the Arrow debacle of two seasons ago. But I can live with the difference of opinion on that.
Let that Arrow stuff go, man.
I'm just saying these are where it's
the mini
at.
Eggs. Mini eggs are fine. They're nice candy to have over the Easter holiday, which happy Easter to everyone. But yeah, they're fine. Like they're also like kids' candy. Like I'm not gonna dump on that. Like it's fine. It's okay.
I'm the biggest kid you know then, because I like these. I mean, I'm not like
You are the biggest kid. You are the biggest kid I know.
I'll say this too, though. Have you heard of the concept of shrinkflation?
No, I have not.
The concept basically is that like what one thing's companies doing is when prices are going up is they make all the packaging smaller to like sort of subtly give you less, you know, bang for what you're paying for. Like this pack of mini eggs, I ate them in about 6 seconds. Like, I feel like everything nowadays, honestly, not just candy, but like every time you go buy something, it's like this looks like what it used to look like, except it's a third smaller. Like what is with this?
It's kind of like me saying I'm bigger than I actually am, right? Is that's the joke?
No.
That's the easy joke to make?
I ain't taking shots at you. Because
Producer Nick made that joke off air, and he thinks he's funny.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, you and I are copacetic right now. We agree on mini eggs. There's no tension here on the pod. But yeah, packages are getting smaller, and I just wish my mini eggs were... I wish I had a few more of these right now, because... That was the only package I got.
If you think about the list of disagreements, right? It's Arrow.
Poutine hot
what
dogs.
Else is there, really?
Poutine hot dogs.
Poutine hot dogs. It's really just those things, right? Everything else, it's kind of like, okay, whatever, fine. But, like, those are, it's really
I don't
just
know.
Those two
you're trying to argue for expanded playoffs right now, and I'm not buying what you're selling.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't know if I'm going to die on that hill. I'm more into the idea of top teams in each conference picking who they want to play in the first round. That I'm willing to die on a hill on.
Right. And here's the thing. Hell I'm not against you on that. I'm just like being more, I'm being the pragmatist. And I'm just like, I know who in this league would have to be, people in high power would have to change that rule and they'd have to be behind it and believe it's not happening. Like hockey people at their core, and you can't say hockey people, but like, cause there's obviously a range of people, but like a lot of people in this sport are truly, truly like they're superstitious, man. At the core, like I just think, you know, they Sidney Crosby eats like a peanut butter sandwich before every game and does the same routine, and you know, lots of players put on their equipment in the same order or tape their stick a certain way or do this, and I just don't think that many teams would ever go off the board, and you know, where one would choose like the eighth best team, and or like I just think I don't know. They like, feel like they're
his death, man. Like
they feel and, like they were like ruffling the ghosts or something. If you like picked a team that you say had a perfect record against.
But like safe is death. Like you mentioned the idea of like all the other teams playing catch up with their playoffs. I mean, if you look at it from a rating standpoint, isn't the NHL playing catch up? Like, shouldn't they be doing things to catch up to all these other leagues, especially in North America? Like,
that's a very valid argument. But I think that the people, the owners of the teams, like they have to feel that way. I think a lot of them, they're getting great return on the investment they made into their individual franchises. I think they're happy where they are. I think they're happy with the idea the league is the fourth best professional sports league in North America in terms of revenues.
Complacency is bad. Complacency is terrible. And it will all do us in if that's the mentality.
Right. And here's the thing. I love this game. You know that. I know you love
this
game.
Me too. We both love this game.
But I don't know if it could ever climb higher, honestly. I'm not saying you shouldn't try things. Don't get me wrong.
No.
But, I mean, there's some obvious, you know, downfalls here. You know, even talking to some of the, you know, it's kind of cool. Like, we've got these kids coming from Arizona now. Like, Josh Doan made his debut, obviously. You got Matthew Nyes, you know, Austin Matthews. Like all of a sudden, that's becoming a place that develops hockey players. They have, like, 6 or 7 sheets of ice in the Valley. Maybe it's a couple more than that. It's not very much. In fact, you know, I heard those guys talking about that. It's like, there's just not enough ice to grow the sport the way you'd want to recreationally. Like, there's a lot of challenges the sport faces, whereas, you know, you go most places, there's a basketball hoop. Like you, it's more accessible to play a sport like that. Anyway, I'm way off topic.
No,
we have
no
topic.
No,
but
no. I don't think you're way topic off topic at all. And
I just think it's still a regional sport, and obviously we're seeing new regions embrace it, which I'm all for. Like, you will never hear me talk about whatever Sunbelt teams or whatever. Like, some of the Sunbelt teams, whatever you want to call those teams, are the most electric markets the league has, just in terms of fan interest, of vibe in the building, of places players want to live and play and call home. You know, like, so the growth has worked in a sense. Like, I'm not saying there were some really bad days for the Panthers, for example. Like, there was many, many years not a lot of people went to games, but look at them now. Like, now it's like they got something going on there. Like, in addition to being one of the best teams in the league, it's just great place to play. They've opened this new practice rink. They're ticking all the boxes there. And so I guess growth is there for the NHL. It's hard to see it. Which sport is it passing, like, in popularity? Baseball?
I mean, I'm not sure. It might be the closest one right now. I mean, soccer is universal. The NFL is king. Like, we've literally had you could listen to different hockey podcasts. I know we did this a lot on the Athletic Hockey Show, but like, if a big thing happened in the NFL, we'd end up talking about that at some point. We've mentioned your Dallas Cowboys a bunch of times. Like, the NFL is king. It's going to come up.
It's funny. I had this experience at the Athletic. There was something that happened a week or so ago, and I was inquiring about whether I should write a story on a piece of news, and they're like, nah, the NCAA tournament's on. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look,
that's all the more reason for the league to try to like stand out and for people to recognize that, like, okay, being complacent isn't the right thing. Like, if that's the mentality that we're going to have, then I mean, interest in the league is going to wane. It's going to die. Like,
well, the reality is there's a finite amount of money in the world. There's a finite amount of time. Most importantly, like, if you're a consumer, you only have so much time to watch sports. So yeah. It's truly hard to watch them all. I mean, it's easy to maybe watch highlights of them all, but like, how invested can any individual be in every sport? I mean, I find it limited. I can watch the Cowboys every week. You know, I love the Blue Jays, but like, most of the time during this, like, before we get to the real big games, I'll watch a portion of a game. If I'm home, I'll catch like an hour, but I'm not sitting and watching a whole game for the most part. Again, until you get it deep into the summer or the fall. You know, I watch a bit of golf here and there. I could tell you next week's Masters week. Like, I'm already.
I can't wait for. That's like the one major I try to pay attention to the most. Just for some reason, the pageantry, the time of year. I love that tournament. I will find a way to watch it.
Smart. I mean, it's perfect for those reasons, right? It does sort of mark, and like, I know we've passed the official first day of spring, but it truly feels like, wow, we survived the winter when you get to the Masters. And you know, it's just a really unique tournament the way it's broadcast. They have like no commercials. Like those guys got so much money there. They don't even, they show like 1 minute of commercials an hour or something, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are all over the, we are all over the map.
That's fine. But that's okay. That's like, it's never a problem when we do that because at least it was a constructive conversation. But I think at the ultimate, to put a bow on it, you're not pro expansion of playoffs. I'm at least open to the idea. And ultimately, maybe the people at the top of the NHL just don't care about making that much more money. I don't know. That's at least how I'm taking it.
Fair. But I don't know. I like, apparently the TV networks have never shown much interest in more playoffs too. Like that's the other thing I've heard, is that you don't have one of the big networks or maybe even a new up and coming network be like, why don't you create these wildcard games and, you know, we'll pay you X to broadcast them. And I think we can monetize this. Like, I'm not saying there wouldn't be excitement about those games, but I also think, I don't know, some of them might not.
That's an important point though.
What would we have right now? We'd have something like, depending how you did it. If you did an 8-9 game, you'd have what? You'd have Philadelphia.
Just copy what
Detroit.
The NBA did. Just copy what the NBA did and do like your.
Do they have 7-10 as well?
Yeah, like you have that 7-10. You have 7-10 play each other 8-9, and like if
but
you
then seven,
lose...
you'd have Tampa in the East. I'm thinking you'd have like Tampa playing who? The Islanders.
Oh God. Okay. Now,
but
I
imagine
have to, like,
Tampa lost that.
Yeah, tough luck. We literally just had a season where the Boston Bruins were the greatest regular season team of all time, and they lost in 7 games to Florida.
Yeah,
regular season doesn't matter that much.
That went to the end. Like, that went...
And they lost.
The Panthers tied that game up with 59 seconds left in regulation in Game 7 and won in overtime.
And they lost.
But that was close.
It's the best regular season team ever. The fact that it got to that point was surprising enough.
At least they got 7 full games before losing. I don't know.
They lost.
I don't want to see a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning not reach the playoffs on because some 10th team gets hot or their goalie. I don't know.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, man. Like, we keep saying, like, man, the regular season has to matter. Like, we already are covering a sport where, like, the Stanley Cup is the ultimate prize. And we've already made it where the regular season doesn't really matter. So, like, who cares if, like, a 10th seed finds a way to get in?
It matters because you got to get in. Like, the Panthers didn't.
But that's it.
Like, 7 in a row last year to get in at the end of the year. Remember?
No, you're right. King. You're absolutely right. You're right. The Lion. It started with Alex Lyon. And now Sergei Bobrovsky he's returned to form.
I was getting total flashbacks because their first win of that win streak was a game in Toronto. And it was obviously similar time in the schedule to right now. And I remember the Panthers coming in that day and they looked like they were alive mathematically, but they didn't seem really that alive. And they'd run into issues with the goaltending and they actually got trounced in terms of how they played against the Leafs. But they Lion King made 40 odd saves. And that started their whole run. And the Panthers are here today. That's the reason I was getting flashbacks is I went down to the morning skate this morning and it's Paul Maurice there again, you know, talking about how much has changed in a year for their team. I mean, this is a wild sport. This is truly anyone could win it this year. I think I had a player me recently that like the one team he wouldn't want to play is the Predators. Believe it or not.
They've been the hottest team for the last month and a bit.
Right. But, like, if you had said that in December, no one would have bought that. Like, if I had come out here and said that, they'd be like, okay, you're talking to the wrong players or something. They'd be like, that's bogus. But, like, he was saying that they're pretty big, they're physical. He's like, that you never get anything off the rush against them. They never let you get behind them. And he's like, they're just tough. He's like, you look at Forsberg and Yossi, like, these guys, and obviously Saros when he's on. So, like, anyway... If we're willing to say, and I'm not saying that I'm not putting words in your mouth, Julian, but if we're going to include the Predators in the list of teams you don't want to play, like this league goes like 12 deep.
Postseason's going to be fun, as you mentioned earlier. Like when it comes time for those matchups, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
Like,
but also goes to show that like if you are this team that was so good for a chunk of the year, and then you like, what does it matter?
I don't know. Let's not expand the playoffs. Just keep doing what you're doing, NHL.
I do want to transition over to Austin Matthews hit 60 goals. Connor McDavid is having a crazy year. I think the fact that those two players, obviously, I mean, we know them, the two of the best players in the league, but just their seasons this year, unreal. I'm going to read off a quote that you got from Paul Maurice on Auston Matthews. We'll start with him. Well, man, what game is it? 74? He's got 60? So nobody's got that figured out. I'm not the smartest guy in the league. I'm just going to put a bunch of guys out and hope they defend the hell out of it if they can. Can you put into perspective how special Austin's second 60-goal season has been?
Well, I think the fact that he's only the ninth player ever with more than one puts it into a certain perspective. I mean, we're 105-plus years into this league, and you know, obviously in the very early days, different schedule was, but it wasn't maybe as possible, but still, it's pretty unique. And, you know, he's still got 9 games as of this recording to add to it. Like, you can't totally, multiple of his teammates have brought up 70 since he hit 60. Like, I'm not saying that's going to happen. Obviously the odds are against any player scoring 10 over the final 9 games. I don't even know if he's going to play all 9. That's the other part of it. But like he is scoring at a rate, you know, you look back, hat tip producer Drew and to the Reddit user. I can't remember which Reddit user it was, but if you look at all players drafted in the 2010s, Auston Matthews now has more goals than anyone. That includes those picked in 2010. He was picked in 2016. And after seeing that stat that Drew shared in our group chat, I actually went through personally myself. If you go back to the 2008 draft year, that being 8 drafts before Auston Matthews was drafted, only 2 players from 2008 to today have scored more goals than him drafted then. Steven Stamkos, who was drafted number 1 in 2008, and John Tavares, his teammate in Toronto, was drafted first in 2009. But I mean, it, you know, you're talking like historical, you know, he's scoring at a better rate than Ovechkin did to start his career. Certainly not a prediction. He can keep it up going as long as what Ovechkin's done, because I think that's the big question. As great as Auston Matthews is, like, I'm telling you, he's rewriting record books at the start of his career. He would, you know, he's still not even halfway to Ovechkin's total. So like, he would have to keep this going for a long, 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 long time to get into the all-time scoring race conversation at some point down the line. But you know, what was cool to me, Julian, I don't know if you saw the highlights. First of all, Leafs fans absolutely invaded Buffalo for the game on Saturday.
As they normally do.
And if you saw the way that Auston Matthews himself celebrated the 60th goal, keep in mind that was a 3-0 goal with, you know, 5 or 6 minutes left, whatever it was. Like, you, it showed how much it meant to him, right? And he had actually taken 17 shots between his 59th goal and his 60th. So it wasn't a long wait. It was only 2 games. But, you know, he was chasing that one. And, you know, I'll be curious now. If he could get to 70, he would be the 15th season ever of 70 goals. You know, some players did it more than once, but 15th individual. Connor McDavid is 4 assists from 100.
Yes.
If he gets to that, which, you know, it seems likely, knock wood, providing health and everything goes the way it should, seems like that's pretty safe. He would be the 14th player, 14th season of 100 assists. So like, those are two pretty, you know, in a sense that they're comparable. They're different, different things, of course, but, you know, the fact that both those guys are even kind of in the conversation for it shows the years they're having. And, you know, the Leafs need Matthews too. I mean, that's the other part of this. Like, there's a debate in Toronto going on right now. He scored 60 goals 2 years ago in a season where he played 73 games. He's at 72 right now. And people are saying, which was the better season? I would argue this was the better season because this team, on paper anyways, is not as strong as where the Leafs were 2 years ago. He's being asked to do a lot more. He's added penalty killing duties, and his defensive impacts this year have been off the charts good if you look at the underlying numbers. And so it's pretty special when you have a guy who's scored 60 by himself. Remember, 59 of them have been against the goalie, only one into an empty net, and 45 have been at even strength. You know, it's one of the best seasons ever in terms of even strength goal scoring. In fact, the only one better from recent memory is Steven Stamkos had 48 the year he scored 60 at even strength. So Matthews has a chance of that. I mean, basically you have to like go deep into a record book to try to find perspective. I think that ultimately speaks for itself, you know, how special it is. And yeah, I'm just curious. Like everyone asks like, what's the number? I think 66 would be, you know, McDavid had 64 last year and Ovechkin had a 65 goal season. Like, I think the best goal scoring season of this era would be 66 goals. So that's, to me, that's the target. With 9 games left, you know, certainly no slam dunk, but Matthew seems to score every night. So
my one thing about this is Austin's having this special season and 70 is still within reach. I don't know how exactly how many games the Leafs have left, but like it's still in reach. If it
they got
goes
nine games left, so you'd have to score 10 goals in 9 games.
Like that would be a torrid pace, but like it's still possible. What I think is wild about it is that he's having this year, and depending on how you're putting together your MVP ballot, he might be third or fourth. Like how many people would look at what he's doing this year and size it up with Nathan MacKinnon, with Connor McDavid, with Nikita Kucherov, and say, okay, Austin Matthews is having a better season than those three guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the voters will think, but I'm with you. Like, certainly, he's certainly not the favorite for the Hart.
No,
where he falls.
Where would you have him if you were? I know your answer would probably change if you had to put together an MVP ballot. Where do you think you'd put him?
It's a hard one, man. Because here's the thing: and I'm not taking like anything you say here could be taking away from someone else. Like, it's the hardest thing to do in the game is score, and you know he scored 59 goals against the goalie. So like he's not getting, there's not a lot of easy calories in there. You know, anyone who might even want to disparage him and say, oh, it's, you know, he's product of playing with Mitch Marner, which obviously helps. But he's actually produced at a higher rate when Marner's been out of the lineup in a lot of metrics. So it's not as though he's being carried by as a playmaker. It's a pretty special season. And the reason some of the other guys that are higher on the list in terms of points is frankly, it just comes down to either more power play points, which they all count the same, but they're arguably a little easier to compile and or second assists. And so I'm not arguing by any stretch that he should necessarily be one, but it's a real debate. And I don't know how you do it. Like McDavid, what's crazy about him, we haven't even touched on him yet, is he was 126th or whatever on the scoring list in November. And for 30 minutes anyway, on Saturday afternoon, he got into the first place spot. Like he made the, from all the way back in the pack, got right to the first place spot. You know, he's since basically it's been Kucherov or MacKinnon for most of the season, occupying the top spot of the scoring charts. But you know, if he wins a scoring race, if he, you know, it seems almost inevitable, he gets 100 assists. Like I don't know how we pick it this year.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I really don't know, because it's not always you have this many supremely special individual seasons in one year, right? Like there's always great players every single year. Like that's not that's kind of a given, but there's not always like some of these are like going to be historically significant seasons. Like there is a world, I'm not saying it's likely, but Matthews gets 70 goals, McDavid gets 100 assists, and either MacKinnon or Kucherov win the scoring title in addition to all that stuff, right? MacKinnon's had a point in all but one Avalanche home game this year. Like it's just, there's been a lot of really interesting individual accomplishments. And so I think it all comes down to how you value some of the other things, maybe, because it's, you're not just measuring stats in that case. I don't know. We're going to have to cast these ballots pretty soon, but I honestly, I'm not dodging the question. I do not have an answer for, I don't know what the ideal lineup is there.
I think that's fine that you don't have an answer because it just shows how difficult this is. Also, one other thing that needs to be mentioned with McDavid and everything he's got going on, I think you mentioned it's 13 times it's happened where a player's had 100 assists or more in a season. An important piece of context here, only 4 players have done that. And one guy has done it like 11 out of 13 times.
Right. Like, so only 3 right now. He would be the fourth, right?
He would be the fourth.
It's Lemieux, Bobby Orr, and 11 times for Wayne Gretzky.
Correct. Yes. That's an important piece of context with this. Like, it's not just like, oh, yeah, like 13 different guys have done this. Like, the greatest player who ever lived has done this more than anybody a ridiculous amount of times.
Well, I think it's wild that McDavid scored 64 last year and then now is about to get 100 assists. Like, it's like,
that's insane.
It's like basically like he's like he really is a cheat code. It's like he can beat you any which way, like any which way. And, you know, this is such an important season in Edmonton. I know we'll zoom in on that as we get closer to the playoffs, but like it almost feels kind of all or nothing. That's maybe a little dramatic. That's a little bit of media teased up, but with just such, you know, uncertainty about what the team's going to look like, with Leon Draisaitl only having one more season under contract as of now, like this year carries massive stakes in Edmonton. They made the early coaching change, and look where they're at. There's no reason they can't go on a long playoff run. That being said, they could lose in round one. They could play Vegas, right?
Like, lose to Vegas. Yeah.
If they lost to Vegas, would you be that shocked?
No, I wouldn't.
And Vegas, you know, Vegas under the hood looks pretty good as a team right now, but, you know, they're not, they've been injured. Like, they're not getting to play a full lineup. I know Thomas Hertl's working his way back. He's about to make his debut here in the near future for them, but, you know, they're still without Mark Stone. You know, they're just not, they're not the Vegas of last season right now, but it's like they could turn into that team still.
They're dangerous, man. We can't. Like, I felt at the beginning of the year with Vegas, you can't sleep on them. Now you just watch out. And Colorado might be the team, but just watch out.
Yeah, I put them in the same class still as Tampa, and I know Tampa's probably gone down in some people's eyes. Like, to me, it doesn't matter where they finish. No one is going to want to play them. Like, I don't care what their regular season record is. I don't care how they got in. Like, these guys have the benefit of the doubt in my eyes that they're going to play at a, like, they know what it takes to get the job done in the playoff time. And even the Lightning right now, like, as we touched on Friday, John Cooper is the only coach in the Atlantic Division who hasn't torched his team in like the last 7 days, because all they do is win.
That could change, because I actually saw a guy who could torch his team
over the weekend. Cooper had like a kid up at the podium with him. It was like a, you know, a junior reporter or something. And like one of the reporters asked like a real question, like, you know, what do you make of this new second line? And Coop's like, saying, you know, kid will answer the question. Like my point is, he's like, the other coaches in the division are like grinding nails and, you know, all stressed out, and Coop's like bringing kids up to the podium and goofing around. So
it helps when you've won 8 of your last 10, like John Cooper is. Maybe it's more than that, but just on the NHL side, in the last 10, it says 8-1-1 for the Lightning. Times are good. Times are pretty good if you're John Cooper in the Lightning.
And Vasilevsky is starting to look like the old Vasilevsky, which I think is, you know, that's kind of the secret sauce to those Tampa teams. Like, those teams had a bit of everything, but what they also had is a goalie that played like every single game in the playoffs and was giving you above average goaltending. Certainly was he was not the reason you lost too many of those games. Now, one of the outliers last season's series against the Leafs, which I covered, I think there's an argument. It was a 6-game series, but I think there's an argument the Lightning had an edge in the way that series was played out. But, you know, Samsonov was the better goaltender in those 6 games than Vasilevsky, which again is a rare thing. But which Vasilevsky you get or not is probably going to have a huge factor in terms of what kind of run the Lightning can put together here.
Okay. And with that,
by the way, Steven Stamkos, it's April 1st.
What about it?
3 months from potentially hitting unrestricted free agency.
You want to open that door again?
Well, I mean, there's nothing really to add, because I have no reason to believe anything's changed. But I mean, the fact we're that close and he's just sitting there, like, it just, I don't know. It's unusual.
Playoff run, probably focusing on that. Leave that as an off-season thing.
Like, oh yeah, that's been the plan all along. Like, and that nothing has changed, again, unless everyone's doing it in the covert darkness of night. But I have no reason to believe that that's the case. Yeah, I do have a story coming up soon on The Athletic with Joe Smith, where we talk to a bunch of Stamkos' former and a couple of current teammates, kind of about how they view that situation, about how they view Stamkos in terms of his place in Lightning history. I mean, keep in mind, this guy was drafted first overall in 2008.
Yes.
So let me do some math quick on the back of the napkin. That's 16 years ago.
Yes.
The franchise was born in 1991, which was 17 years before 2008. Like, he has almost been a member of the Lightning franchise since, for half of its time. Like, 45, north of 45% of the time the Lightning have been an organization, he's been on the roster. Like, and
everything to that team.
And he's been the captain for a long time. He's been part of 4 teams that went to the Cup Final, 2 that lifted the trophy, 2 others that lost in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final. He's one of a very few players in NHL history who has 500 goals and 500 assists. He's a first-class representative in the community. He's beloved by his teammates, and I don't think I'm spilling tea from the story Joe and I are going to have, but know, got a lot of stories of things that he's done over the years and anecdotes. Absolutely beloved guy in their community. And he's 3 months from unrestricted free agency. Just saying.
Just could you imagine July comes around? Steven's just like, hey, you know what? I want to go somewhere different. Maybe try. Well,
I'll say Alex Killorn, his former teammate who's in Anaheim, did say, like, like we all know this. Steven Stamkos wants to stay in Tampa. Like, that has not changed. But he did mention, like, he's a Hall of Fame guy, and he's obviously got a lot of pride. And, like, there is a point where if he doesn't feel wanted, like, maybe he gets to the point where he feels like he has to leave. I don't think he's there yet. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Please don't radio me on my own podcast here. SDPN.
You hear that? Admins. SDPN, Justin Fisher, Nick Andrade, all of y'all, don't do it.
But I'm just saying, like, it's crazy, not crazy. It's just unusual someone of that stature, even coming off the seasons he's had. This year, his points totals are down a bit, but he's going to be another 30-plus goal season. Still very dangerous in the power play for that team. Like, it's not as though we're talking about a fourth liner here all of a sudden. Like, it's just hard to imagine they might walk him right out the door, but... if there's one organization that might do it, I think it could be this one. Because they've made a lot. The cap has forced them into hard decisions. But they've made a lot of hard decisions. Like, a lot of heart and soul players of their championship teams have been traded away or walked to free agency before them.
So, same time, 3 months from now, we talk about Steven Stamkos?
Or on June 10th, we're talking about his extension. Who knows? Like, there is a world. Like, I don't think this is... it's a
very specific date you just mentioned.
Well, I was just picking a day out of the...
I know. I'm just teasing.
But I am saying really more that, like, I don't think that this is a fait accompli in either direction. Like, I think it's still very much kind of a jump ball in terms of where it lands. But as you know, I've had my eye on this one. Like, I just...
yes, part you have.
I don't know. Like, it's not just a hockey argument here. It's like the rare player that truly, I think... really brings a lot of things beyond just like what you can find on HockeyDB to that franchise, to that city. And I don't know, playing them hard in negotiations by not negotiating at all.
Never thought we'd be in a situation where we'd be wondering about the futures of Steven Stamkos and Sidney Crosby in the same summer. It's entirely likely both of those players stay with their respective franchises, but wouldn't it be something if one or either of them decided they wanted to change?
Yeah, it'd be wild.
It would be very wild.
So pick one team you'd want to see Stamkos on, just like for fun. Let's say he gets the free agency. Just like, and you can choose chaos, you can choose whatever. Like, where would you want him to go?
Like, wouldn't it be something? I don't have everyone's cap space in front of me. I don't know what teams would do.
Park that, like, a little bit. Like, just try to think of...
like, Toronto, obviously, there's the Ontario connections. Like, that would... like, I could see that as in, like, you know, wanting to play close to home and all that. But wouldn't it be something if just he felt... what if he went to Florida? What if he went to the Florida Panthers? What if the Panthers just said, screw it, we're signing you? And he stays in the state of Florida, but he plays for the rival team and helps them on their efforts of remaining competitive. That's the ultimate chaos option for me.
It is, and it would obviously give him a chance to chase the Stanley Cup, presumably, again. You know, I just wonder, would that damage your... to any degree, would that damage your legacy in Tampa by signing with the rival?
No. No. He's meant so much to that team. He's won with that team. You just mentioned it now. He spent, like, almost... like, all this time throughout their entire history. I don't think it damages it that much. It would be very weird, and maybe people would look at the front office and be like, well, how could you let this guy go to this team? But, right. Nah, I think he's done. Maybe people would... it would be one of those things where people would get mad, and then after a while, once he's retired, we let bygones be bygones. Like, Tampa Bay Lightning fans would be like, just ignore the last 1 or 2 years of his career where he was a Florida Panther. Let's ignore it.
Right. Like, when Joe Montana was a member of the Kansas City Chiefs, and a lot of people kind of probably forget that over time.
That's it, right? Like, and he wouldn't be the first guy to play for a rival organization after we've known him to play for another team. Like, Guy Lafleur was a Quebec Nordique for a brief period of time. But
and a New York Ranger.
And a New York Ranger. Like, it happens. For guys playing on rival teams,
how about
like
a Stamkos reunion with Steve Yzerman in Detroit?
That would be really sick.
That'd be kind of cool, too. I'm just thinking storylines and all
that
stuff.
And he gets Derek Lalonde as head coach.
And I should be very clear. I'm not promoting this. I'm not floating this as information. I'm sitting here. I just ate a pack of mini eggs. I'm just thinking of like what could be fun.
This might be as close as to us resuscitating the what if segment.
Let's get to Ask CJ before I get myself in any more trouble.
Now you want to get to Ask CJ. Monday segment where we take in questions from viewers and listeners like you. Anyway, first one from... Actually, you know what? Let's go to this one from Brad. What do you think the Red Wings offseason looks like?
They're going to sign Steven Stamkos.
Steven Stamkos.
I mean, it's a fair question, but it's a hard one to answer until seeing how the season ends, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the big decisions or one of the big focal points, I think, will be where does Patrick Kane stay there? Remember, he only signed a one-year deal there. And he's played pretty well coming off the hip resurfacing procedure that not a lot of players have ever had or come back from. He's kind of one of the guinea pigs, for lack of a better term, for that procedure. I mean, he's been productive and been a useful member of the team. I can't predict what the offseason looks like without knowing how the most important part of the story ends, because, you know, so many, if they get in or not, I think makes a difference. If how they play, how certain players perform. I mean, this team has been sort of in a retool/rebuild for a long time. I think they do have some promising young guys in the roster. So I think they're going to keep adding around those players. And so I said, that's the best answer I can give, which is like a bit low on specifics, just without knowing how this last 2 weeks of the regular season and the playoffs go.
The most impressive part of that answer is not once did you say, I don't have a crystal ball.
Continue.
Next one from Taylor Choba. Speaking of chocolate, what is the superior Easter chocolate? Solid or hollow?
Solid.
Yeah, I like solid.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like
in this shrinkflation world, though, hollow would make more sense. It's like you think you're getting more than you are.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I like O. Henry, so like, I guess hollow. I don't know. But solid's great.
I think the spirit of the question, like, you probably had those little eggs. You like take the foil off. Some of them kind of are more, some of them are hollow and some of them are like thick right through.
Yeah. Or like the Hershey's Kisses.
Yeah.
Those ones would be hard. The solid ones. Chocolate's chocolate, man. I mean, I shouldn't maybe
no.
not all chocolate's all chocolate. That's actually very wrong.
I was we had like a whole war, I'm gonna say, on this, like,
chocolate civil war. it's literally what happened.
CJ Joe civil war over chocolate. I remember like going out to the store to buy some to eat them on the episode to make a point.
I still can't believe you did that. You I still laugh at like the clip about me saying the arrows are not good, and you're just like, what? Like, I never seen you look that animated about anything in your life. Anyway, solid. Hollow, you win in either way.
Solid is the answer. Final answer.
Okay. All right. So, okay. I don't know. I don't feel that spirited enough about solid or hollow. They're both
solid.
Good options.
Final answer.
All right. CJ's final answer is solid. From Yotes.
Can you tell I had chocolate today? I'm all like, woohoo.
I mean, you've literally been flashing the Cadbury mini eggs package like, what, five times? Three, four, five times? There you go again. Now we need a Cadbury sponsorship.
Right on.
Yeah, you can't be flashing that. That's free promo for them, as far as I'm concerned.
That's true. Well, I also ripped them for the size of this friggin' thing, so.
Yeah, okay. We're going to have to... Maybe they make a CJ size.
33 grams? Like, are you kidding me?
What's wrong? You don't want to eat too much of those. Like, it might go to your hips. I don't know.
I know. I should probably be more worried about that, but I'm just saying, like, a Patrick Waugh number of grams?
33's all right. 33's a good number.
I'd like it to be more like 50 or 80.
Just go to the store and
we could have a Joseph Wall number of grams. It could be a 60 gram.
You easily could have that. Absolutely. All right. From Yotes Girl. If CJ had to choose one NHL running buddy, who would he pick and why? If he picked a celebrity running buddy, who would it be and why? So you need a celebrity running buddy and an NHL running buddy.
Well, the easy answer is Zdeno Chara.
That's exactly what I was looking for.
Because, I mean, not only is he a tremendous runner, he ran his first full marathon, like, within literally a minute of my fastest ever marathon. Unfortunately, he's got faster since then, which is, I mean, great job, Z, but it, mean, it means I would maybe have trouble keeping up with him. But if we were doing a short enough run, I think I could hang with him. I think he'd be an interesting guy. We'd look pretty funny running down the road with, you know, the massive difference in leg length and overall height. So he'd be my NHL pick. I don't know, like, I don't know which celebrities run. I'm sure a lot of them do, but I don't know. Like, do you have a good, are there any known runners in celebrity circles?
I have no idea. I don't know why Michael Bublé popped into my head. I feel like it would just be like funny, but I have no idea if he runs.
Yeah. So I don't have a good celebrity answer, mostly because I don't know the celebrity runners, but
you're not even really into like celebrity pop culture like that. You don't really keep up with celebs like that.
No, but weirdly, I bet if someone was known to be a runner, I would know more. Like, I would have heard about it. Fair. I would have saw, like, obviously I read like running stories. Like, I follow running people on IG. Like, normally, because you see the odd IG and it has like everyone sort of like semi-famous who's run a marathon and it will have like their best time. Yeah. It's like, it's kind of cool if you've been a runner. Like, it's like, it's the only thing on earth. I remember, I think I told you this before, but it's like the only thing I could compare my athletic achievements to Zdeno Chara's. And you know, he is now much faster, but his very first full was 3:38, I want to say. And my fastest was 3:39. So
that's pretty good.
No, but it was just cool that like, literally I was like, wow, we did something where we were both trying hard and we had almost the same time. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Then he kept trying hard and he ran like a 3:10, which just like, I know my limitations and that is way
try harder. Oh, okay. That's, well, your limitation.
Here's the thing. Actually, if we did this game, and I don't know why anyone would do this, but if someone like said, okay, you don't have to work and we're going to like give you a trainer. And so the reason I say work is like, so that I could just devote my life to like eating properly, sleeping properly and training right, and get the help of a trainer. Maybe, and it's, this is a maybe, maybe there's a world I could run a sub 3:20 marathon. I don't think so. Like, I got mad respect. Honestly, there's a lot of much faster runners out there, and they are average Janes and Joes like myself who also work and have lots of things going on in their life, and they can run like 2:40 marathons, like just savages. I have, anyway, tons of respect for them, but I don't know what my ultimate capability would be if I could just do it sort of 24/7. But sadly, I don't think I'm going to find out either.
What is the, how many days is your streak at?
I keep it on my phone now, 'cause a lot of people ask, like basically a Google search. As of today, I'm at 1,433 days.
That's amazing.
I'm hitting my 4-year anniversary is on April 29th. So I'm less than a month out from my 4-year anniversary.
That is amazing. Full credit to you for being able to do that. Okay. I got two more questions for you. This one from Congo Red. This might actually be the weirdest question we've ever received.
Uh-oh. CJ, we've had some weird ones.
Well, let me know what you think of this one. CJ, the Canadian government has blown your deep cover spy mission and you need to leave the country. You need to leave your old life behind and start anew. How are you disguising yourself to leave the country and what is your plan to leave?
What? I don't even have, like, what a...
Like, I told you, this is the weirdest one we've ever gotten. It's,
I guess I'm gonna get like a trench coat and one of those like a hat with the glasses on it or whatever.
Just look even more like a creep.
the classic disguise from a movie, and I'm gonna buy a plane ticket and go somewhere. Like, I don't know. What am I supposed to say? Like, shave my head and then like cross the border at night?
That could work as an answer if you want.
That is a weird question. I was not
go full Walter White, I guess.
I was not prepared for that.
No, you know. In all fairness, how could you prepare for that?
I just hope that none of this ever becomes something I have to think about.
Yeah, I'm glad. You and I both.
If you could live in another country, which one would it be? Like, if you had to live in one other place. Are you going for culture? Are you going for heat, like weather or something? Are you going for...
It would be cool to see what living in... Oh, God. I almost said living in England. It's just the problem is the food is so bad. The food is all... I'm sorry. I mean,
Well, your family's Scottish, but or at least your dad's Scottish.
Don't worry, us Scots aren't known for much better food than the English. It's more or less all the.
It's just
basically if it's brown, it's probably like that's the color palette.
It's just there's no seasoning on the damn food. It's just not. I don't know. It would be cool to like live in that country and experience the culture and all that. It's just I would need to live in some part of the country where. I don't know. The food can't be that.
I've lived in London for a year when I was just out of university, and I could live there again. So,
and look,
I love London. It was awesome.
There's so many different things to do and experience in London, and like I've been to Stratford upon Avon and gone to the Globe Theatre. Like, it's beautiful. It's a great place. Obviously, the Premier League games, soccer games, so many different things about England. The damn food, I can't do it.
I wonder about Spain. I've only like visited.
Spain seems interesting.
But Spain like seems like promising.
Germany seems cool.
Yeah, I was thinking Spain is like cost of living seems pretty good. The weather is obviously on point if you're looking for a little bit better than what we get here in Canada. Anyway, we're all over the place. That's now ask CJ now is CJ asking random questions of Julian.
That's fine. I think that's cool.
When we get into true garbage time, we'll just do an episode on a Monday where I just come with random questions for you. Julian, if it was a deep spy mission, how would you disguise yourself and how would you leave the country?
You would never know. Chucky Picks has hope I'm not too late here, but very important question for CJ. Did Coburg Papa have a good birthday?
Coburg Papa had the best birthday. It was on Sunday. Happy to have another spin around the sun for my dad. And yeah, because we had got some family time over the weekend with the extended family and some Easter celebrations. He did text me and say that he felt like he was overshadowed somewhat by the Easter bunny on Sunday. But that's because some of the youngest members of my family were sleeping at his house. And obviously I'm assuming enjoyed some kind of chocolate Sunday morning. But yeah, it was great. We had a cake for him. We sang. And I think he just, you know, for my dad, what's most important to him is family. And mm-hmm. when his family's together for a few days like that, he's happy, and his birthday was probably secondary in his own mind.
Aww. Happy birthday, Coburg Papa. We all love you here at the SDPN, and really happy to see you celebrate another year around.
And he claims he's 110%er because he's not only listened to every episode, he's listened to some of them twice.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I don't know how, like, the podcast I've loved the most, I've never listened to twice. So I don't know. Like, I realize he's living that retired life out there, so maybe he's just like, oh, I just want to hear it again. But, like...
Have you mentioned the podcast you love the most?
No, because I don't really have just one. I'm fickle.
What is that? Okay, like, I know you don't listen back to a lot of, like, hockey and, like, sports stuff.
No, I listen to, like, a lot of economics and investing podcasts. I listen to Leaf Report. With James Myrtle and Jonas Siegel, two of my buddies.
Shout out to them.
And they've been their podcast goes back to like 2013. Like they are an older podcast. And it's the reason I like listening to them is because it's kind of like hanging out with my friends a little bit. Like, you know, I'd like, because we don't see each other enough these days. There was a time, you know, I would be out more with those guys or we'd be on the road together more. So like, I it's almost like you get to have an argument with them. Like, yeah, James, that's a stupid take.
Oh damn!
I obviously listened to the SDP.
So I thought they were your buddies. What is this?
Well, I mean, who doesn't argue with their buddies? That's part of being buddies with someone.
I mean, we've argued before, so yeah. Case in point, yes.
I listened to the SDP.
Yeah,
I listened to Agent Provocateur, especially if he has a guest on that piques
you
my.
Still
interest.
Can't say provocateur, which provocateur. Is funny.
I listened to the Overdrive Pod. I told you that. Like sometimes I just catch Overdrive in pod form. So yeah, it's not like I don't have one pod that I catch. I'm not 100%er of any pod. I think I told you that. Like I kind of go on feel and I go through I binge a pod for a little while and then like I want something different. I don't know.
That's fine.
A lot of those runs I mentioned there too, I go music free. Like I just leave the cell phone at home.
That is insane. Or I don't like know
pod
if I could
free,
do that.
Audio free.
That's crazy. Then again, I listen to music every day. So like I don't know how that could. Wow. You just listen to like nature
my thoughts
or just. Okay. I don't know. I, I, You're built different. You're obviously built different because I could never do that. I can't do it. I just need to listen to something.
I think it's individual. Like some runners, I've heard the same thing. Like sounds weird, but it's almost more relaxing to just like settle into your own brain. Like a lot of all you're thinking, this will sound weird, but it's like, I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, okay, I'm 3K in. So you're almost like doing like a check. Like, how do I feel? How are my legs? How's my breathing? I don't know. Like that. Anyway.
No, please.
We got some runners out there that can probably identify with that. Then I also know some runners though that like to be distracted because they like to just get lost in the music or the podcast and forget how much time's going by. So I don't know. I can see the argument for both, but I would say less than half of my runs do I have a pod or music in.
That's still very impressive. And we should say, if you're one of those who like to have podcasts or music in your ears and you choose to listen to ours,
I guess I shouldn't be here being like, yeah, I don't listen to like podcasts. Who wastes your time with that?
Podcasts suck. They're terrible. You shouldn't listen to the CJ show or the Steve Daigle Podcast Network or the Agent Provocateur show. None of that crap.
Yeah, I need a good baseball podcast, maybe. Is there a good Jays podcast out there?
Ooh. That's a good question, actually. I don't know.
I should find one that maybe makes me a little cheerier about my... Even after seeing them go 2-2 against Tampa to start the season, I don't know.
It's a 162-game season, man. There's a lot of time. Ton of time. A lot of time to feel optimistic and... Maybe you will.
I like Justin Turner doing it for the old guys out there.
Is it 39?
Had a big Sunday at the plate. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of time for you to feel optimistic about your Jays, just as there is a lot of time for all the NHL playoff teams to feel optimistic about their teams until the playoffs. And we covered as much as we could cover today.
I have a feeling.
Covering a lot.
I know we had this debate about how many 100%ers there are. I think our number just dropped today. I don't know how many people can get to the end of this show.
No, I don't think that number dropped. And if that number was going to drop...
Like, if we had 500, because obviously, remember when I estimated this, then we got barraged with people saying there. If we had 500 to start the day, we might only have, like, 480 at the end of this pod.
No. Losing 28 bet. thank you to all the 100%ers who listened. Thank you to
and
all
to the 110%er, the one of you out there.
Yeah, the OG, 110%er. We'll be back on Thursday with a brand new episode. And subscribe to the show. Subscribe to all the other great content we have here at the SDPN. We'll see you all very soon. Peace.
The Chris Johnston Show. Inside the game, twice a week. Follow Chris on Twitter, @ReporterChris. And follow Julian McKenzie, @JKMcKenzie.